Imagine living to 150 years old. This isn't science fiction, it's a potential reality for people alive today. Since 1840, human life expectancy has increased by approximately 3 months every year, transforming our relationship with work. The traditional learn, earn, rest life plan is becoming obsolete as more Americans work well into their 70s and beyond. Against the backdrop of a potential 100-year work life, even a 4-year college degree seems woefully inadequate preparation. We're all becoming working learners, constantly pivoting between perhaps 20, 30 job transitions throughout extended careers. The average American already experiences at least 12 job changes before retirement, and technological transformation will only accelerate this pattern. This isn't some distant scenario affecting others, it's our collective future. As machines handle increasingly predictable activities, our distinctly human capabilities become more valuable. Emotional intelligence, adaptability, judgment, and communication skills are already in high demand. Ironically, just as these human interaction skills become economically crucial, they're atrophying in our digital world. The future demands hybrid skills, combining human and technical capabilities, emotional intelligence paired with artificial intelligence, ethics with logic, communication with programming. Is college meant to prepare students for careers or for life? This persistent debate represents a false choice. In an era requiring continuous skill development, education and work have become inseparable. As economist Anthony Carnevale notes, while formal education predicts initial earnings, what you learn over a career ultimately becomes the most powerful teacher. Recent graduates' anxiety is justified. Analysis of 4 million resumes revealed 43% of graduates start underemployed, in jobs not requiring degrees, and these individuals are 5 times more likely to remain underemployed after 5 years. By the 10-year mark, nearly 75% of initially underemployed workers remain stuck. The risk varies by field and gender. Engineering and computer science graduates fare best, while women experience worse outcomes, 47% initially underemployed versus 37% of men. Beyond the immediate $10,000 annual salary penalty, underemployment prevents building crucial professional networks, raising serious questions about higher education's ability to support graduates through their extended careers. Traditional higher education faces an unsustainable future. With costs reaching $22,000 annually for public 4-year education and nearly $50,000 for private institutions, student debt has ballooned to $1.6 trillion, exceeding credit card debt. A demographic cliff approaches as high school graduate numbers, which peaked in 2013, will decline sharply by the mid-2030s due to post-financial crisis birth rates. Even before COVID-19, over 100 institutions showed multiple closure risk factors, with the sector already contracting from 4,726 degree-granting institutions to 4,313 by 2018. College student demographics have shifted dramatically. The term non-traditional has become obsolete, as 7 in 10 students display at least one non-traditional characteristic. 40% are over age 24, balancing work, caregiving, and geographic constraints. These learners seek affordable, flexible pathways rather than social coming-of-age experiences. Despite this untapped market of millions of adult learners who could offset declining traditional enrollment, most institutions continue to chase prestige rather than serve these unmet needs. Clayton Christensen defined disruption as innovations that transform expensive, complicated products into affordable, accessible alternatives that eventually upend industries. Unlike sustaining innovations, disruptive innovations target non-consumers, people whose alternative is nothing at all. Personal computers exemplify this transformation. The first PCs were marketed as children's toys rather than mainframe competitors, costing $2,000 instead of $2 million. Digital Equipment Corporation ignored PCs because their existing customers showed no interest and profit margins were lower. This illustrates the innovator's dilemma. Targeting the bottom of the market seems illogical when higher profits come from serving existing customers. In higher education, online technologies enabled institutions like University of Phoenix to create the first fully online universities in the 1990s. Though often dismissed as inferior, these schools competed on flexibility and convenience, qualities that mattered to working adults for whom traditional education was inaccessible. Learning from early for-profits' mistakes, institutions like Southern New Hampshire University, Western Governors University, and Arizona State University emerged as innovators serving the new majority of learners by reimagining academic roles and prioritizing accessibility. Education and workforce systems are failing to meet current challenges. Employer-provided training has plummeted from 2.5 weeks annually in 1979 to less than 11 hours by 1995, mostly covering safety rather than skills development. Companies have shifted from developing internal talent to external hiring, filling only one-third of vacancies through promotions compared to 90% between World War II and the 1970s. Most businesses prefer investing in technology over reskilling workers, creating what one coding bootcamp founder calls the corporate hunger games of recruiting and replacing talent. The workforce increasingly faces caregiving responsibilities as the population ages. Currently, 73% of employees report caregiving duties, averaging 24 hours weekly, so demanding that one-third must leave paid work to manage these responsibilities. Age discrimination adds another layer of difficulty. Research shows older applicants receive fewer callbacks, with women experiencing the most severe impact. Callback rates for older women were up to 47% lower than for younger counterparts. Employers often perceive older workers as having outdated skills or being too expensive, despite their valuable experience and human skills. Imagine a 51-year-old IT specialist who needs to work another 15 years accessing a free skills assessment using real-time labor market data to map his experience across industries. Rather than defaulting to teaching, he might discover transferable skills for roles like client services product coordinator or IT project manager. Five guiding principles must shape this new ecosystem. 1. Navigable. Clear views of current and future job markets with better information to translate capabilities into better jobs. 2. Supportive. Comprehensive wraparound supports to help learners overcome hurdles and manage competing priorities. 3. Targeted. Education providing the right skills, pathways, and timing with clear value signals to employers. 4. Integrated. Resources for working learners to combine education with existing responsibilities. 5. Transparent. Fair hiring processes enabling job seekers to prove their competence when skills become the primary currency. A new learning ecosystem must integrate all five principles to effectively serve working learners. Like Pando, the 13 million pound aspen forest with a single interconnected root system spanning 106 acres, our learning ecosystem requires powerful connections beneath the surface. Unlike natural ecosystems with sophisticated communication networks, our learning and work systems lack fundamental data infrastructure connectivity. While companies like Amazon thrive on closed loops of data, creating continuous improvement, education and workforce systems remain disconnected, unable to link post-secondary education with career pathways. MIT economist Darren Acemoglu describes our current situation as so-so automation, technologies not productive enough to fully displace workers while creating new, more creative forms of labor. We need not accept today's work realities as inevitable. Work provides more than income. It offers dignity, purpose, and empowerment through societal contribution. By co-creating solutions that bridge opportunity gaps for those furthest from wealth and mobility, we prepare not just the 41 million Americans currently left behind, but all workers for long-life learning. The future of work isn't some distant possibility. It's already here. The question is how quickly we can build systems that help everyone navigate this new reality with dignity.